We normally have been working through the book of Acts, verse by verse. We have made our way all the way through Acts chapter 9. Saul has been converted, and the gospel has expanded extensively throughout Jerusalem. There was a massive persecution in Jerusalem in connection with Stephen. He was martyred, and then Saul was on the warpath to get every Christian possible. And then, lo and behold, God saved him. And as Saul began to preach the gospel in Damascus and in Jerusalem, even he was persecuted. And eventually the church just had to evacuate him out of the area in totality. And when they did, that is when the church had peace. And the church was continuing to grow. And the gospel expanded all throughout Judea and Samaria and even Galilee. And then Peter was making his way throughout all of those regions, preaching the gospel, and God was saving many, many more. And now where we left him last in Acts chapter 9 at the end was where he is staying put. He's not traveling anymore. He's staying put in Joppa, and he's staying with an unclean Jew who is a tanner. He takes care of animal hides. And now, what we'll have to wait for when we get back to Acts chapter 10 is the next phase of the gospel mission, which is God taking the gospel to the Gentiles. And Peter will be the main part of that at the beginning of Acts, and Paul, of course, will take over later. Well, we're 2,000 years later, and we are primarily Gentiles, and we are continuing to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We have many in this body whose hearts just beat to do this, to bring the gospel to people who will listen. We have amazing evangelists within this body who love the lost in this valley, and they bring the gospel to them. We have great parents in this church family who love their children diligently with the gospel. We also have people who want to take the gospel to Mormons. We have people who want to take the gospel to Muslims. We have people who are in Italy and in Spain. The gospel mission is still expanding to the ends of the earth. And what we have decided to do starting last June was have what we would call missions Sundays. And we would take a periodic Sunday and we would just take a break from whatever book of the Bible we were in to remind ourselves that we are on the gospel mission of Jesus Christ. And we would highlight that mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as we've been in Acts, we've been able to see those early days of the gospel mission from Jerusalem outward. And so Mission Sundays helps us to write our chapter of what we're doing in the gospel mission of Jesus Christ through the local church to the ends of the earth, all so that God is glorified. Specifically today, what we're going to highlight is our first team, Lord willing, going to the Finisterre mountain range of Papua New Guinea. Lord willing, we'll raise up many more teams. There are even many in this body who are getting training to be the second team to go. And others who are investigating if this is what they want to be a part of. And because of our time constraints in one service today, we don't have the ability to start at the very beginning and lay out the foundation again and tell you everything concerning how we even got to this interest. And got to this point where we're ready to really, within a year or so, be launching our first team. But you can find all of that information, that foundational information. It goes back to last June 17th, 2012. If you want to go on our website, you can listen to that Mission Sunday. And Joey Tartaglia was with us, and he got to speak a lot about what they did and what the Hope of Finisterre Vision is, which is his ministry that comes alongside local churches to help them send teams to the ends of the earth with the gospel. But I think today you'll hear an adequate overview so that if you're new to this, you'll get a flavor of what's going on. But before I introduce to you to the three couples that are going to speak today, I want to remind you of who Joey Tartaglia is, and he is here with his family. Where are you, Joey? They're in the back. By the way, they have twins that they're doing foster care for. That is just exciting. You guys just take more and more on, and that's awesome. We're so excited. Thank you. Joey spent, and his family, of course, spent about a decade of his life among the Mibu tribe in the Finisterre Mountains of Papua New Guinea, and that tribe now has an alphabet. They have an alphabet. And that tribe now has a Bible. And many in that tribe have believed on the name of Jesus Christ and have forgiveness of sins. And that tribe now has a church. And that church in that tribe is participating in the gospel mission, taking the gospel to other tribes. That's amazing. One family was used by God with in partnership with another family to form a team and to go. And God gets all of the credit for that. It's not Joey. But he was available. And we aspire when we grow up to be like Joey in this. And Joey and the Mibu tribe have received letters from other tribes asking, when will you come with the gospel to us? Because they've heard what's happened. And so what Joey is doing in this next phase of his life is he is raising up, Lord willing, 15 teams that will be placed across the Finisterre mountain range to take the gospel to those 105 different language groups of people. 15 language groups into all the rest of those 105 languages. So that's exciting, and we get to be a part of that. And Lord willing, our team is the first that will go. And this team is aspiring to do among a tribe there what Joey and his family and his team did there as well with the Mibu. If our team doesn't go, who will? And we're excited. Joey, I can't remember the dates and the times, but is it by 2035 that we want to have all 15 teams raised up so that by 2050 the 15 teams have been there and the last church has been planted in the last section and is now taking the gospel to its group, right? Somebody thought, Joey, somebody thought, let's set a goal by 2050 that the Great Commission would be finished across the Finisterre mountain range of Papua New Guinea. That's exciting. We want to be a part of that. So I want to introduce, well, before I do that, Joey, thank you for being obedient to the Great Commission. And I know that it's all of God, that God did all of that and is doing all of that. But you, for us, are a tangible and humble example so that we can see what it looks like. And that's really helpful. So thank you. It's good to be your friend and have you work alongside us. Three couples to introduce to you this morning. Matt and Cameron Dodd, they've been in this training the longest. Matt is and Cameron are getting trained in translation so that a team can have an alphabet, have a written alphabet, and then eventually the Word of God. Zach and Cassidy Cann will be assisting them and doing teaching. And if Cassidy has it, she will administrate the whole mountain range. And last, why do I do that? You know what? She is an administrative genius. She is. She's a godly woman. And she loves Jesus. And her gifts are very important and helpful. And there's a new couple, the newest addition to the team. And in an answer to prayer, this couple was not there last June when we did this. And that is Jeremy and Lori Lehman. Without their unique role in this as the logistics coordinator, which will be down in the town of Madang, in Papua New Guinea, the rest of the team goes nowhere. So I'm going to let them all tell you how they got involved. So we're going to start with the Lehmans. And I just want to let you know that the elders have the utmost confidence in these three couples. Our confidence is in Jesus and in his grace towards these three couples. But we want to send these three. Each of these men are godly men. They are pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ in their personal lives. They are managing their households well. They are aspiring to the qualifications that are laid out in for leadership and as deacon and elder. And their wives are flourishing under their care. Their children are following their leadership in their homes. And they're making tremendous sacrifices to go. I don't know if you'll hear it from all of them. There are career adjustments that are being made and have been made. They have taken loss in salary in order to be more free to get trained. They have moved out of, one of them has moved out of their home and is now going to be living with somebody else in the church so that they can save more money and rent their house out and perhaps have some income from that. They're making tremendous sacrifices to be able to, Lord willing, have the Lehmans go in January of 2014. So we're going to start with Jeremy and Lori. So why don't you two come on up and we'll let you start us off. This is Jeremy and Lori Lehman.
Good morning.
Stand right here.
Can everybody hear me okay?
Awesome.
All right. For those of you who don't know us, we are the Laymans. I'm Jeremy. This is Lori. We have three crazy little children. Greer, who is 4, Belle, who is 2, and Knox, who is 13 months. And we just want to walk you quickly through how did we arrive here personally, just our family. Since we weren't here last year in June, we originally just heard about logistics. So how did we get here? We just want to take you through that quickly. So Lori and I had an initial interest in missions back in 2008. Our initial interest looked like us contacting some friends that were with New Tribes Mission in Thailand and just sending an email to them and asking them just questions. You know, how did you get involved with missions? What does that look like for you? What are next steps for us? And they were really encouraging just to look into different missions organizations. So at that time we did. We looked into multiple organizations, and we found that there were things that disqualified us at the time. We had debt. We had quite a bit of debt. There was also doctrinal distinctions that were different that would have made it hard to have unity with an organization that, I guess, it was just different, would have been opposing. And we were convinced at that point in 2008 that it was a closed door. So we kind of dropped it and moved on with life. Again, in 2010, I guess by God's doing, he brought the same couple that we had emailed in Thailand back on furlough, and they came over to our house and had dinner, which was great. And again, more questions. We were able to probe out more things from them, but it was still a closed door. We still had debt, and we felt like we couldn't steward well going to a different country doing missions work with that. June of 2012, which Scott already mentioned, was Mission Sunday. And in Mission Sunday, they reviewed Michaela Bruce. You know, what was she doing? I don't think Massimo was mentioned in that, but Joey was there, the Dodds were there, and the Cans as well. And it was just encouraging. And like all Mission Sunday, there's always a desire, this emotional urge to get involved with something. And we felt like it was wise to take 2 weeks and see if that emotional stirring would still be there or if it would go away. And we were really intentional with this. We wrote with the dry erase marker in the house on mirrors, you know, would you prayerfully consider the work in Papua New Guinea? And I put that on bulletin boards at work. It was always in front of us, and it worked really well. So at 2.5 weeks, we still had a desire to pursue missions. I contacted Scott, and he was very encouraging just to meet with people that are already in missions training and to see if the desire was still there. So we did. We met with the Dodds. We met with the Tartaglias, and every person we met with was just a bolstering of this desire we had to go to Papua New Guinea and be involved in missions, which was just great. So, and since then, we've continued in training. So in August of 2012, we started meeting with the Tartaglias, and just meeting at their home, working through modules, training. What does it look like going to Papua New Guinea, taking our family to a completely different culture, and just enjoying the craziness of the unexpected? So what does that look like? One of the biggest questions we get, and before this, is just what are we doing currently, which would be helpful to work through. Scott had mentioned just that some people have changed change position in companies and things like that. I used to work 60 to 70 hours a week with my employer. Very difficult to work a ton of hours, care for my family well, and also do training. And so with that, God opened an opportunity to speak with my employer that I wasn't planning on, and actually working graciously with me to less hours. It was a drop in pay, but praise God we're able to make it every single month. But there are less hours. I work a 40-hour week, and I'm able to participate in greater training, able to spend more time with the family. I think the first week, I didn't do anything but just stay home and just enjoy time with the family, which was great. So the kids have loved it. I have loved it as well. But we're able to complete training faster. We're being able to make preparations for what's ahead better. We're more time involved. We're not so rushed. And just able to meet with people more as well, the Cans, the Dodds, elders at Grace as well, which has been great. So next question. Everybody asks, what is logistics coordination? It's probably the biggest question that we get. And thank you, Dave, for putting that up on there. So here's a simple list, and I'll work through some of these, but It gives you an idea of what is logistics coordination. What does that look like? Missionaries can't go into a tribe unless there's logistics happening on the ground in a town. Supplies have to go in. It looks like groceries, medical supplies, printing materials, house building coordination, coordinating delivery of those supplies in the village. We leave our houses, we get in our cars, we go to Fry's, we go to Walmart, we go to Safeway. You can't do that in the tribe. You're just stuck there. Whatever you ordered in is what you have, and otherwise you're living off the land, I guess. So things that we take for granted, you know, we would be coordinating and preparing those things for those in the tribe. So things would be taken in by car, by boat, by plane, by helicopter, and just coordinating the logistics between multiple organizations so that can happen. Picking up mail, paying bills in Papua New Guinea for missionaries, renewing missionary work visas, setting up and being a contact for emergency evacuation, and encouraging, uplifting, and supporting the teams as they come out of the tribe and come into the town. Where are we going to be doing logistics? And we're going to be doing that in the town of Madang, as Scott briefly mentioned. And see if there's a picture up. There is. Every time we see a picture, think of Hawaii and something tropical and lovely, which it is. Madang is a small port town. And in relation to the Finisterre mountain range, it is northwest. It is a very ideal location. So it's been picked out as a place that we could do logistics well and be able to coordinate quickly in between different organizations to be more successful. Population, from what I've looked up, is estimated around 30,000 people in Madang. And that includes people that would live in Madang and people that would trickle down from the highlands and other tribes as well. It is hot, it is humid, and it is very rainy. If that's a helpful summary of what the environment is like there. Very different than Arizona, hot and dry all the time. So, we have an initial commitment right now to be going for 3 to 5 years. And we're planning on assessing every year just how was the last year and what are we planning for the future here as well. The Cans and the Dodds will speak just about when they're planning on leaving. What is their departure date? What are they shooting for? I think that's August of 2014, Scott. Okay, good. Our desire and our aim is to be there in January of 2014. And the reason for that is preparation. The idea of taking our entire family along with the Cans and the Dodds all showing up, and we're all trying to figure this out, the blind leading the blind in a foreign country, just sounds mentally taxing, not only on us, but also on them. So things that we're going to do so we can be more successful for missionaries when they arrive, learning the language, learning the culture. The language they speak there is called Pidgin, which is like a sloppy English mixed with a bunch of other strange words. But learning it is quick. 6 months is typically the time it takes to learn the language of full immersion. We would need to prepare and create orientation programs for inbound missionaries. Nothing currently exists for Finisterre Vision. There isn't an orientation training hub. There isn't a base camp for the organization. So we're going to be going to Papua New Guinea and creating something there for missionaries when they come in. We need to settle our family into a new culture so our family is kind of prepared for that so we can care for a family that's moving into something that's just so unique. So, things I want to mention in this, with going to a country that is completely foreign and taking our entire family there and just how many obstacles are there. There is a desire for me, not Lori and the kids, but to go in June of this year. There are many answers we need to questions that we have, and it is very difficult to write down on a sheet of paper how we're going to tackle something when we have no idea what it's going to look like. So just some goals. There is a June trip we're preparing for. This isn't in the slides, just notes that I have, but just want to put them in front of you. Things like establishing housing. Where are we going to live when we get there? Establishing relationship with doctors. As Belle has kind of mild asthma, there are some things we just want to care for with our family and make sure that we're preparing for that well. Setting up language helpers so we can learn the language quickly. We want to see what does the local body look like. Is there even a local body in Madang? Is there a church that we can be a part of there? Establishing contacts with other mission organizations creating a final cost of living. We have estimates for all the missionary teams, but actually having solid numbers that would help us so that we can give the body and other supporting parties just an actual cost, an actual idea of this is what it is going to cost to be in Papua New Guinea. And then just help with any of the other unknowns. I'm sure when I get there, it'll be a wow, just eye-opening. And other things that I didn't even write down to get an answer on, but able to get an answer with. So, how can you get involved? And, sweet. How can you get involved? A lot of times we'll put out, and Smedley was very encouraging this morning with giving specific ways to pray for Papua New Guinea, but here are some bulleted points on how you can be praying for Papua New Guinea, rather than just praying in general. The gospel of Jesus Christ going to a people group that has never heard it before is spiritual warfare. I wouldn't view it as anything other than that. Satan would be in direct opposition to what we're trying to accomplish in going to Papua New Guinea. And Ephesians 6:12, after Paul is reminding them to put on the full armor of God, he goes through saying, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We need prayer. If we're going to be successful in Papua New Guinea with taking the gospel to people that have never heard it, we need prayer. We need prayer. With praying, moving on to our financial needs, which were mentioned by Scott, and I think Dave has got them up there. He does. Dave, you're on it. Thank you. Moving through June preparation. Funds needed. This trip is one person going to Papua New Guinea, there and back, lodging, food, and then time that I'll be away from work, because that won't be paid. We have a number that of $5,500 is going to be a cost to go. That's sending me there. Our initial sending cost, funds needed, and I just have some bulleted points here to work you through that number. When we get there, we need to purchase a vehicle. Shipping our items in our home, things like that, to Papua New Guinea. Air travel for 5 people and 3 being little ones going to Papua New Guinea one way. Appliances for logistics. We don't really think about it. Maybe some do, but everything in our home is 110, 115 volts. So I can't take my microwave to Papua New Guinea and plug it in without killing myself. So that's something we're going to have to purchase when we get there. All the appliances in our home will have to be repurchased if we can't find a rental place that has them. And passports and something else we had to purchase for our whole family. So total cost we have for initial sending is $35,000. Last would be monthly support. Praise God, we're currently at 2% of our needed monthly support, which is an encouragement. And total monthly needed is $5,500. That number is it's hard to swallow being in America. And giving you guys just an idea, as the cost seems high, it was shocking to us as well. Just working through an example, electricity in a home that's about 1,000 square feet in Madang is anyone from $400 to about $500 monthly. A small 1,000 square foot apartment is around $1,200 to $1,300 a month. Buying local produce is cheap. You could buy bags and bags and bags of carrots, and you're probably going to pay maybe 90% less than what you would pay here. But anything that comes in is imported. The cost of living is very high there. So I want you guys just to have an idea of why that number is high. Things just to be closing for, if you guys could pick up a card that Scott mentioned, this has the Dodds, has the Cans, has us on there as well. Be looking for ways just to be praying for us if you can. Be praying about your participation in the work in Papua New Guinea. There is also a missionary support team list that is at the back table. If you have a desire to be involved just with prayer, with fundraising, just with encouraging us specifically, please feel free to sign up. Just put your name, put your email down. We'll be in contact with you. That'd be great. And just in closing, I would ask you guys to be thinking and praying like we did. But maybe it looks like 2 different questions. So one, would you prayerfully consider your supporting role in the gospel going to Papua New Guinea? And maybe would you prayerfully consider being a sent one to Papua New Guinea with the gospel? So thank you guys very much for letting me blab. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you much. All right. Zach and Cass, why don't you guys come on up? We're going to let Zach and Cass go next. He had mentioned an MSTN, a missionary support team. Each of the three families is going to have their own missionary support team. And they'll have ways that you can get involved with that. Come on up. Thank you, Zach.
Thank you. One thing I just want to say as we start is how encouraging and exciting it is to be a part of something like this, to see the Laymans, to see the Dodds, and many of you who have already come behind us and supported us in a number of ways. I've done a lot of different mission trips in the past. I've been a part of a number of missions and projects, and to be a part of a team like this is just so exciting and encouraging. To not be alone in the gospel mission, but to have the church coming behind is a really exciting place to be. So, all of you know Cassidy. I am Zach Kahn. She has been around serving the church for a long time. I in many ways, feel like the newbie. Cass started even training for Papua New Guinea 3 or 4 years before I even entered the picture. But the Lord has been really good. We started dating in 2009. During that time, I got to hear a little bit about her interest in Papua New Guinea. I had traveled a lot of different places and had never even heard of Papua New Guinea. So in 2010, we actually both had opportunities to take separate trips to Papua New Guinea to visit Joey in Mibu, and those were wonderful times. I went for just a couple weeks. I was in grad school at the time, and Cassidy was able to go, sent out by you guys for a couple months to do some reconnaissance, as it were. And as I was flying out of the tribe with Joey and his family, we were flying over the Finisterre Mountains, and I took that photo of just some random tribe that appeared out of the window of our helicopter. And it's just a picture of the fact that tribe after tribe, who we don't even know, just flying over them as we're leaving these mountain ranges, tribes that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. For the last 3 years up there, we got married. And we had a baby who's not here right now, Jude. When you were mentioning that our children listen to us, I don't know. He's a little guy growing. We hope to have another before we leave for the mission field, so if you want to be praying for that. Where we're headed in this summer is Canada. We're going to be going on the recommendation of the Dodds and Lauren Demarest, who also took this training. We're going to go to KNIL, which is the Canada Institute of Linguistics. And in the summer course, we're going to take 3 classes on phonetics, phonology, and grammar. These classes are evidently really helpful for when you go into a tribe. Because these languages are not spoken, you can't go and buy a Rosetta Stone, how to learn this language in 10 days. And the language is not even written down. We're going to learn some tools about how to enter a tribe, to hear the language and what's going on, what sounds are being made, to develop a written alphabet, and eventually to be able to teach them how to read their own language is the goal there. So these classes, Lord willing, will make that a little easier, hopefully. So we're heading out in June. So thankful for all of you who have supported us and have prayed for us already as we've headed in that direction. In the months following, the year following, after we get back this summer, I'm going to still teach at Veritas Preparatory Academy as I have for the last 3 years, but I'm going to be working part-time. My boss has graciously allowed me to take less classes to be done with teaching at noon, and then to be able to take my afternoons to train further. I'm going to be training with both Grace Bible Church and Finisterre Vision, finishing up classes with Joey, and taking some GBI classes with Scott and Smed, and hopefully spending a lot of really good time with the elders here. My desire, part of my goal in going, is to serve in a pastoral role among our team, but also among the tribe, if the Lord would be pleased to save them when we preach the gospel. To be able to preach God's word, to be able to shepherd and lead through decisions. And I need a lot of help to know how to do that. So the elders, hopefully be able to spend a lot of time with them to see what that looks like here, before going over, in a year or so. Things that God has already done in order to accomplish all of this. If you've spent any time, with Smedley, or if you have read William Carey's biography about William Carey, you've heard the term holding the rope. William Carey, in a sense, coined this phrase when he was trying for many years as a pastor in England to raise up people to go to India. It was the furthest place that people knew of. The British government was doing a lot of work there. And he was trying to find people who were willing not just to bring politics and spices and whatever back and forth between Britain and India, but to bring the gospel to India. And everyone liked the idea, and no one was willing to go. They described it as a dark, foreboding place, almost like going down into a cave. And eventually William Carey said, "All right, no one else is going to go, I'll go. But I beg you guys to hold the rope for us back here as we go down." That idea of descending into a unknown place with an unknown culture, doing a very difficult task, but to have people back at home supporting them, holding the rope for them, praying for them, supporting them. And we've already seen the church here step forward in amazing ways to do this. I just want to point out a few of them. All of you have supported us. Many of you have supported us for our trip to Canada. We are fully supported. When we started raising funds for that, I've raised support quite a few times just to see how quickly people responded to our need for this summer, raising over $10,000 in less than 2 months. The Lord was just really gracious through you guys. So thank you for your generosity and your sacrificial giving, and for your prayers. We're already on our way starting an MST, a missionary support team. Russ and Ashley Huber have agreed to lead our MST. So if you join, you'll get to hang out with Russ, which is really cool. So I'm excited about that. Travis and Sarah Shelbourne, I haven't seen them here. They're here in the back. They've agreed to help us with our financial logistics stateside. So as any of you send in support, it'll eventually go through them, and they'll take care of that for us. So we're just really thankful for those already who are, we're still a year at least from going, and already to see people stepping up to support us in that. We have a website, and we just got it started and launched yesterday. And that is in large part to Trevor and Kelsey Brents. They have graciously, I don't know that much about web anything, and they have just given a lot of time and support and encouragement and training in how to put something like that together. So whenever you visit and enjoy our blog or see what we're doing, or whenever that communicates well to you, that's just the grace of God through the Brents to us. So we're really thankful for that. And finally, a really big one. We are, teachers don't make a lot, and I'm going to be making half of that in the next year. So we're going to move out of our house. We've loved our home that God has given to us, but in order to make it possible so that we don't have to raise support while we're still in the United States, we're going to move out of our home and rent it out to make an income. But in order to do that, you need to live somewhere and live somewhere for as minimal a cost as possible. And so we sent out a random email, some of you may have got it not long ago, asking if anyone was willing to house a family. And that's a lot to ask, to open up some rooms, to let us live and move and have our being in your home. And the Hantlas, Jeff and Lori, have opened up their home to us. And so we're not there yet, but in the next month or two, we're going to pack up our house and move to the Hantla residence. And we are just so thankful for you guys and your generosity to equip us to be able to do the work that God has for us in the next year. There are some ways in which you guys can be involved in holding the rope for us. I think there should be some things up there to pray for us. The Dodds, the Laymans, we all have email and blogs, and we're going to be communicating regularly how you guys can pray. What is actually happening? We need the Lord in this. You don't just go over to Papua New Guinea, run a program, follow a certain strategy, and produce a church. That's not how it goes, right? Jesus says, I will build my church. And so we need prayer so desperately that God would be pleased to raise up a church in whatever tribe, whatever those 100 tribes on those cards we end up going to, that the Lord would be pleased to save many, to save all of them, but whatever he would be pleased to do. MST is up there as well. We need people to join. I don't think it would be any fun if it was just Russ hanging out. So if you guys would be willing to join us, to join our missionary support team, these are people who are just willing to pray for us, to hear what's going on, and to then communicate that to the body here at Grace Bible Church, to communicate what is happening with us. And so there's a sign up actually for all three MSTs, whether you want to join the Dodds, the Laymans, the Cans, a combination of those, whatever it is. If you're interested at all in joining us in that way, there are three sign ups on the very boring table right next to Joey's. And we also have a little card there with some information for how to contact us and support us. Finances is a need. The next slide is going to show you some of that. But this last one here, visit us. We would love to have people from this body come out and see the ministry at various points. And we're not sure exactly when that will be. But one that we do know is we need people who are willing to come out and help us build a house in the tribe. Doesn't that sound so exciting? If you are interested in doing that this morning, if you're thinking, like, that might be a great idea, start saving up for that. Because that is the flights out there, it's at least 3-4 flights to get into where we're going to be in Papua New Guinea, and then possibly even a helicopter ride out to a tribe. So it's a financial cost, but we would love to see you guys. That is a great way to give that fellowship, which we're going to be missing desperately when we depart from you guys. So the sample costs, I won't spend much time going over that. That's just to show you some of the things, shipping supplies over there, flights for a family to get over. These are going to be very similar for us, for the Dodds. You can see monthly support about the same as what the Laymans need. Our family's a little smaller. Visiting us, evidently given the numbers you gave, that's low. But we'll just say it's $4,000 per person. So if you want to start saving and praying about possibly doing that, that would be wonderful. We have ways in which you can contact us. If you're interested in getting monthly updates via email on ways you can be praying for us, if you want to find out ways to get invested and involved, we've got that information up for you there. If you can't jot it down fast enough, we also have some cards at the back table. But thank you guys so much for your prayers and support. Thanks, buddy. Bye-bye.
Okay. One more family. Let's have Matt and Cameron come on up. The smiling better half, it just complements the message given by the husband all the more. So good job, ladies. That was excellent.
We are the Dodds, and this is a picture of us. Just to let you guys know, we have four kids. And my name is Matt, and this is my wife, Cameron. And our kids' names are Susanna, Benaya, Onesimus, and Mary, ages 6 years to 5 months. And we would like to go to Papua New Guinea. And so we have a couple statistics about Papua New Guinea that, again, you guys can look it up, but as other people have said, there's around 800 different languages in Papua New Guinea, and in the Finisterre Mountain, there's about 100 different language groups. And so many of them are lacking God's word, lacking an alphabet, and have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we want to go, and we want to go and preach the gospel. We want to plant a church, and together with the Cans, you know, raise up and teach and raise up elders in that church, and the laymen as logistics coordinators. And so what we wanted to do is give you a little bit of specifics about what this would look like, you know, and as a timeline. And so right now, we are training right now, and we've been training, and support raising is starting today. But at some point in August, Lord willing, of next year, we'll get on a plane and we'll fly to Papua New Guinea, and we'll land there. And for the next 6 to 8 months, we'll go through arrival on the field and orientation, where the Cans and as well as us will be learning pidgin, and we'll be meeting other missionaries there. And then towards the end of that, we'll go into surveys. And so during surveys, you'll actually, you know, we'll be getting in helicopters and flying out to different tribes, getting to know them and saying, hey, can we move in with you guys? You know? Can we teach you God's word? Can we translate God's word into your language? Can we stay with you for a while? You know? And if somebody says yes, we're just, Lord, you know, be praying that somebody says yes. We'll move into what we call allocation into a tribe. And for 6 weeks, we'll be building the Cans house, our house, and an office, and moving everything in just for 6 weeks. And after that, it's 2 to 3 years as quickly as possible of language and culture acquisition. Where again, it's just every day learning the language and the skills that you learn at linguistic school where the Cans are going this summer and where we've gone. They train you to learn a language without having to go to a class, and it's extremely helpful. So after that, it's pre-teaching prep for 6 months where you just do literacy and you work on an alphabet again, because these are unwritten languages, and translating key passages that we'll be teaching from, and then moving into evangelism. We're for months, we'll be teaching, you know, people that have been living in a tribe all their lives about, you know, from Genesis, where God created the entire universe, to the fall of mankind, to God choosing a people to give his word and give his law and demonstrating his mercy, and those people demonstrating mankind's sinfulness, to the cross of Jesus Christ, where God provided a way for the guilty to be made and declared righteous so that they might spend an eternity in his glory. I mean, this is the good news we want to tell them. And so we do that, and if God saves some, if some see their sin and repent and trust in Jesus, then we will be, for as long as it takes, establishing the church, teaching and all this time, again, still translating God's word into the mother tongue of this language, of this tribe, and eventually phasing out. And so why us? Why Papua New Guinea?
So there might be some in this room that are wondering, why us? Why us and why Papua New Guinea? There might be some reasons that it would be good for us not to go. Like, we have little kids, and Papua New Guinea may not be the safest place in the world. So why us? why now? Why Papua New Guinea? And the answer to that is that 9 years ago, I was free from living for anyone but myself. I was free from obedience to anyone or anything except myself. And I was also free from any sort of real happiness and any sort of real joy and any sort of real peace. And I was a slave to my sin. And then one day I heard the gospel. I heard the good news that all of that sin that I had been living in had a price. And that price was the wrath of God. That price was the wrath of God poured out throughout all eternity on me for my sin. But that Jesus came and he left heaven and he died on the cross and he bore all of that wrath that I deserved. And he took it away from me and he rose from the dead so that I would have the hope of spending an eternity in heaven with him. And when I heard that, that changed my life and I repented and I believed. And I know that even though I'm a great sinner, I have a greater Savior. So there are probably people in this room that need to hear that message. And that is why this church exists. And that is why, Lord willing, this church will continue to exist. But there are also people in Papua New Guinea who need to hear this message. There are men and women and boys and girls who die every day and they go to hell because they've never heard this message. And we want to go because we've been saved. We want to go so that we can tell them how they can be saved, that the only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ. And why Papua New Guinea? Because they can't walk into a Walmart and buy a Bible. And they can't walk down the street and walk into a church and hear the gospel. And if we don't go, if someone doesn't go, then they won't hear. So we have a blog that's www.withoutapreacher.com, and that comes from Romans 10, 14 through 15, which says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent?" So that's why us. The short answer is because we want to go, because we've been saved. We want to go. And why Papua New Guinea? Because they need to hear the good news. That's the gospel.
And just to summarize things that we've said before, where we've been, we've been training since 2007 with the Tartaglias. As we meet with the cans every Sunday after church, even not today, but in the future. And we've been meeting with them. And we've done linguistics training. We've only done 4 semesters of Greek, but maybe it took 3 years. So, and we're doing Greek now again. Again, the goal is to translate, we want to translate God's word from the original language into a tribal language. And primarily the most important thing is just being elder qualified. You know, we want to be people, that are qualified to plant a church. People that you guys would want to send out to plant a church, just in a different culture, in a different country, in a different language, with people that don't have the Bible. So, as forming a team as well, as you guys have heard, where we are now along with everybody else, we are organizing an MST as well, and then these are people that will help, you know, things while we're gone and help us while we're here, fundraising and house building. We need a lot of help, you know. So please talk to us about ways that you could do that. There's a sign-up sheet in the back, as others have mentioned. And we also will be raising support. The one-time need is approximately $60,000. And these numbers, if you have any questions about this, please ask us, because it is expensive. This is one of the reasons I think that there's so many people left that haven't heard the gospel. It's hard to get there. It's hard and it's expensive. Plane flights alone, you know, would be $12,000 one way. And so, a monthly need is $5,500. Try not to add up all the numbers that everybody's give. Just pray. Just pray. You know, the Lord will provide. And there's a needs list that the cans also have and we have and that we'll be working from. Just things that we need to bring with us, things that we need to get there, and the layman's as well. So how can you get involved? Pray for us. You know, pray that we would be continually growing and trusting the Lord with this, and pray that, that we would be diligent to be training and raising and support and just be praying for the tribes that, that God would just soften their hearts and lead us to a tribe that needs to hear His gospel. As the Cans mentioned, pray about taking a vacation to Papua New Guinea, you know, and, we have a blog, which is mentioned on the next slide, www.withoutapreacher.com, and you can email me at notmattdodd@gmail.com. Sorry about the confusion. So, and, that's it.
Guys, thank you. So Lord willing, the timing is the layman's will go in early 2014 and following in August of 2014, the Dodds and the Cans. And as you can see, the financial commitment to get there is large, and we are a small body, but God is big. And our desire is to seek His face and to trust Him and take another step forward. What should you expect for this team? You should expect the team to unashamedly preach the gospel of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what you should expect. And you should expect that they not only will lay out there that truth, but that they will call the tribe to repentance. You should expect them to call the tribe to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And you should expect opposition. You should expect opposition now. That everything from doubts within their own hearts and minds, strife in their relationships, discouragements, difficulties, spiritual malaise, numbness, coldness of heart, and other dangers that will happen even on the field. You should expect opposition. They're not going to Disneyland on vacation. They're going to take the gospel to a tribe who has never heard it, and they are doing the most important work on this side of the grave that there is. And you should expect opposition from our foe. But lastly, you should expect God to save sinners. And you should expect Him to be sovereign in that, in the way that only He does, in the perfect timing that He does. If this team goes over to bang a hoe on a cement-like surface for all of their life, just so that it makes a crack, so that another team can come in after them, so that the gospel can get planted and people will believe, we'll do that. Because that's what we do. God is in control of the gospel mission. Have we learned that in Acts? He is in control. He does it His way and in His time, and He loves to save sinners. So expect those things as our team goes. I want to pray, close our time together, and remind you to stop over at the tables over there, spend some time talking with them, pick up one of the forms if you want to go out to eat. If not, please, the offering boxes are by the door as you go out. If you want to give something today, specifically mark it towards PNG or missions in the memo line of a check, or use an envelope there, whatever. But let's help get this team off and going, and let's pray for them. Heavenly Father, we do lift up to You Jeremy and Lori, and we pray, God, that You would provide for them a trip in June of this year to help them get some tangible ideas and numbers for what it's going to take to be logistic coordinators so that the team can be successful. Lord, thank You for Jeremy and Lori. Thank You for their desire to administrate and to free up missionaries to not have to think about things that they don't have to think about if somebody planning well and carefully will do it for them. Lord, provide for all of their needs, all for the sake of men and women and boys and girls hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for Zach and Cass. We pray, Lord, that we give thanks to You for providing what they needed to be able to get their training in Canada this summer. And we pray, Lord, that that training would be fruitful, that it would be beneficial, that You would, that they would just be hearing exactly what they need to hear in the class, so that when they are on the field with the tribe, it will make sense and they will know exactly what to do. Lord, provide for their every need. Thank You for a boss being willing to let Zach go to part-time. Thank You the same, Lord, for Jeremy's boss being willing to do that, for giving these who would not have thought of it on their own and may not even have had a paradigm to do such a thing. Lord, you have given them favor in the eyes of their employers, and we're grateful. And we pray for Matt and Cameron that, Lord, you would provide for all of their needs, that, Lord, you would build them up spiritually as they finish up their training, that you would give them much wisdom as they are learning and trying to absorb everything they can. And above all these things, Father, I pray for these three couples that you would keep their love for your son fervent, that you would help them to discipline themselves daily, to come before your word, to meet with you so that they might see your son there. I pray, Lord, that their time in your word would be like our time in your word is supposed to be, Lord, that first and foremost, it's a time of worship, worshiping you as you have revealed yourself there. Lord, build them up in their love and their worship and their fear and their obedience to Jesus Christ so that they are qualified men and women with integrity who can preach the gospel and people can look at their lives and say, that's what it means to follow Jesus. I understand. Lord, we need you desperately. This church has all kinds of limitations, but we worship the God of no limitations. And we pray that you would provide only as you can so that you are glorified and so that your son is made known across the Finisterre mountain range in Papua New Guinea. We do this for your name's sake, and we pray in your son's name. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for letting us go over a little bit. Please join us for lunch at any place that you can with us. We're glad you're here. Thanks for coming.